here at the Ag Issues Forum. I'm visiting with Michael Rogers. And Michael, first of all, for people that be watching or listening, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I'm a futurist these days. My background was in journalism and also technology. I helped places like Newsweek, The Washington Post, The New York Times develop digital media. And finally, I got interested in the future itself. So I work with a lot of companies now around the world, from industrial companies to law firms and some agriculture, to think about how the future might happen and what we do now to prepare for it.
Well, we're doing this interview in part with my I call it Zim Glass. My company is Zimcom. So I had to have a pet name for my Google Glass, which I think is a good example of some futuristic technology that's in development in the class of wearable technology. We want to talk a little bit about innovation in food, but technology goes hand in hand with that. And even something like this might have real value potentially in farming to better become more efficient through the use of this new technology.
Absolutely. I'm a great believer in wearables. I've tested a number of the Google Glass type products, and I think we'll really see them come along. I'll give you one example of a combination of how new wireless internet plus so-called smart sensors, the fact that we could make incredibly inexpensive little sensors now that actually can measure something like the soil evaporation or the amount of moisture in soil, we can make those sensors so inexpensively that you could actually just distribute them in a field and then plow them under or not plow them if you're not tilling at the end of the season. In the meantime, they can be actually giving you literally sort of a foot-by-foot presentation on exactly the soil conditions, which could in turn be visualized through your glasses. So in other words, you could have these smart glasses that let you see the field. Overlaid on that would be data about what the growing conditions are like.
Since you mentioned essentially internet connectivity here, I hadn't planned to bring this up, but I think it's a big issue right now that not a lot of people understand, and we are hoping to hear from the FCC an announcement on net neutrality, or open internet, as some people like to call it. Just kind of your thoughts when you look at the audience we're trying to target here, rural, should they be concerned about this issue, or welcome it? What do you think?
I think a couple important things are going on that will mean by 2020 or so we're going to be amazed at how much high-speed, low-cost wireless broadband there is, even in very remote parts of the United States. Reason for that being that the FCC last year, even before net neutrality, voted to change the Universal Service Fund, which is that fund that guarantees that wherever you are in the United States, even the wilds of Wyoming, you can get a voice telephone line for a reasonable price. That's being changed to say that you can get a broadband connection at a reasonable price. In other words, to me, it's like the rural electrification program of the 30s. Basically, the federal government has decided that broadband needs to be everywhere. You combine that with the regulatory powers that the FCC wants, particularly in the area of being able to create more competitors. That's one thing the FCC would be able to do under these new guidelines. So you combine those two, I think by 2020 we're going to be amazed. It's going to be like electricity. You will just expect to have internet connection.
Yes, that was one of the key comments that you made in your remarks here that I really picked up on, because you're talking 5 years here. And yet we can look at all the things that a company like we do. We blog, podcast, social media. That's how we do our agricultural media distribution. Mm-hmm. That 10 years ago or about when we started doing this, you never even heard of it.
Right.
People didn't know what a blog. I had to teach people what a blog was in order to support it, you know.
Yes.
But so it's 5 years. So massive innovation coming, I'm hearing from you. So in the food sector, Are there things that you were kind of maybe forecasting or think need to happen in order to feed this growing population we're hearing a lot about?
I think that there's a lot of efficiencies that we're still going to be able to wring out of the current food distribution system by using smarter technology. Once you have wireless internet connectivity everywhere and you have the ability to really more closely track what's going on in terms of the food supply chain, I'll give you one example. There's a big project going on now to analyze food spoilage, fresh food spoilage at all stages of distribution. And for the first time, really understanding all the microorganisms that are involved in that spoilage process. Working back from that with very smart software and saying, well, here's a better way to do storage. Here's a better way to reduce spoilage. It may well be that we are actually spending more energy and time trying to prevent spoilage than we need to, simply because we don't understand the process itself. That kind of information, coupled with really smart technology, is going to create greater efficiencies.
Well, this huge jump in population is being projected out to 2050 is the number everybody's kind of pointing to. I don't know if that means people think that it will just end then or what, but that's kind of a near term, historically speaking. But we're looking at right now, that's what, 35 years from now. Just talking about the kind of change technologically you're projecting in 5 years, I think it's reasonable to expect we might have enough innovation in this ag sector to take care of the needs that we have. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely true. I think particularly in the developing world. I have sort of a saying, which that there's a biblical law of technology, which says the last shall become first. If you get far enough behind in any technology, the next step you take leapfrogs you ahead. And we're seeing that in places like sub-Saharan Africa, where, for example, they didn't have a good banking system in some of these countries. So they went immediately to mobile cell phone banking, a system much more sophisticated than we have here. Those kinds of breakthroughs are going to be applied to agriculture in these developing countries. Simply the ability to sell crop insurance to a farmer who is maybe 200 miles from the nearest small town can be done via cell phone now. Simply by offering micro crop insurance, you give the farmer confidence, he'll plant two bags of seeds, you get much more yield.
Yeah, it's hard for a lot of Americans to take sometimes that in some ways we're behind other countries in the use of some of these new technologies, just exactly like you say, it's already happening.
It's interesting. I think of my own experience. I actually have a small farm in Sicily, in Italy, which is a pretty remote part of Italy, and we're up in the foothills, pretty much in cattle country. But we have two sources of high-speed internet, and we're in the middle of nowhere. And that's partly because the internet is actually more regulated in Europe, and the Europeans insist that there's competition. So that provides us with two high-speed sources in the middle of cow country.
So. Well, we will hope that your outlook on this comes true in the next 5 years. I, for one, would love to see it, and I think that's only good for agribusiness, like you're saying. And so I guess time will tell.
We'll both be here, and we can check in again in 5 years and see if we're right.
Thank you very much, Michael Rogers, for visiting with me here at the Ag Issues Forum. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.